Good morning. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and today we have a full house in Studio C, some arts organizations, and also a couple of students who are pairing up to do multimedia installations. Today we've got the Meow Wolf organization in the house, along with students from Sandia Prep and Amy Beale High School in Albuquerque. Also, Elizabeth Becker from the Albuquerque Museum. Thanks to you all for joining us.
Hey, thanks.
So I want to start off with Vince Cadlubeck. Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Sweet. Cadlubeck.
One of the best ever. Good job.
Woo! Vince Cadlubeck is with Meow Wolf. This is an arts organization that was started in 2008 in Santa Fe. Can you briefly explain what the organization is and what your goals are?
Yeah, sure. Started in 2008 in Santa Fe, basically a bunch of like 20-somethings who were artists who really didn't have much of an outlet to do what we wanted to do. Like, Santa Fe is like a big art world.
Well, right. I was going to say there's tons of art in Santa Fe, right? So, but no
yeah,
outlets.
But it's not really like local young person art. It's like established fine art, established like contemporary art or whatever. And so we kind of got tired of just this, like saying like, oh, I wish somebody would. Oh, I wish somebody would, you know, bring us into their gallery or whatever, and just got our own space and created a collective, I guess you could call it. It was founded on like the DIY culture, the do-it-yourself culture, you know, just basically like pitch in to pay rent and start basically doing stuff. And that consisted of throwing music shows, throwing dance parties, and then creating these like multimedia immersive art installations, which we then developed over the last 5 years and have gotten better at it, I guess.
Well, so we do have a link to the Meow Wolf website posted at KUNM.org if you'd like to go look. Some of these installations that you've done are really, they're so bright and colorful and complicated, and there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Can you like give us a window into what goes on a day on work on a Meow Wolf exhibition?
Sure, yeah. Well, like Meow Wolf exhibitions are created from the hands of like anyone and everyone who's willing to be a part of it. We don't say no to people. We just are always inviting more people in, and whoever wants to do something is totally welcome to. So what tends to happen is we create these maximalist, layered.
What does maximalist mean?
Maximalist would be the opposite of minimalist.
Okay.
Basically just like, you know, rather than stripping down to some like minimal thing, you're like, you keep adding. And basically, so like, you know, what we've evolved into is like we create these fictional environments. It's a form of storytelling. There's some narrative involved. So it's like writing a visual walkthrough story, fictional story. Our most successful exhibit was called The Do Return, and it was in 2011. It was a giant boat, and it was like a trans-dimensional boat that traveled through vortexes to go from space-time to space-time. And so what we did is we constructed the boat itself, which was 70 feet long, 20 feet wide, 14 feet high. And we also constructed the environment that it existed in. So, you know, we try to create things for audiences that are explorable. They have moments of discovery. It feels magical. It feels like the audience is having a one-on-one experience that, like, is special, unique. And so that's really, like, where, I don't know, where our art shows go.
Well, so, Elizabeth Becker, you're with the Albuquerque Museum. There's a program called Lead with the Arts. Talk to me about how this partnership with Meow Wolf came about.
Sure. So Lead with the Arts is an after-school program for teens that the museum started 3 years ago. And it was with the kind of simple idea of just having a creative space for high school students. And so this year, Meow Wolf had done an installation as part of the Isaiah exhibits.
And remind folks what Isaiah was.
Yeah, so Isaiah was an arts and technology exhibit that was
huge, right?
Yeah, huge. It was citywide. And the museum had an installation by members of Meow Wolf, so they were certainly, you know, on our radar. But what was more interesting to me was the work that they did through a project called Chimera. And Chimera is an arts education project, and Vince will probably step in and clarify about this, but they did work, very collaborative work, with students in Santa Fe. And so we were really looking to do very collaborative work with our project. We thought that that was, you know, really kind of the next step to really work on a project collaboratively. And so that's really where we got interested and started talking with Meow Wolf.
Well, so this exhibit that, and we have three students in the room, Sophia Resnick and Sage McKay from Amy Beale High School, and Liz Boren has also joined us. She is a student at Sandia Prep. And you both, all three of you, have been working on this project, Dreamscape, which is... we're doing some relocation of some mics here. Our studio is jam-packed this morning. you three have been working on this project, Dreamscape. And I wanted to start first, because here you are, the day before the grand opening, right? Because the grand opening of this exhibit is tomorrow at the Albuquerque Museum in Old Town. And we do have information posted online at KUNM.org for folks who can go find out more about how long the exhibit will be open, et cetera. But the opening night, the free opening night, is tomorrow night starting at 6. And I want you three to think back to the first day. I see some eyes rolling. Think back to the first day that you, not rolling, but like rolling back, like thinking back to the first day that you you met Vince and you were just getting introduced to Meow Wolf. Sage, what was that like for you? Like, take me back to that moment, and why and how did you get involved to begin with?
Well, I had no idea what the class would be about before I started taking it. And I remember the first class that we had, we all got these sketchbooks and we were told to decorate them. And then we just sort of tried to talk to other people, but we're all shy, so that didn't really happen very much. And then actually the first person we met from Meow Wolf was this guy named Nick. And then we met Vince later. And it was just really cool to hear about all these installations that they had done and other installations, because they showed us a lot of pictures in different websites about all these other installations. So it was really cool to think about actually making one.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sophia?
The same question?
Yeah, same question. That first time, you know, how did you end up in that class? What were you thinking, expecting, needing at that time?
Well, I've always really been interested in art, but I haven't had necessarily the opportunity to do a project this big before. And my mom works at the Albuquerque Museum as an art teacher, so she had told me about it a long time ago, right when it was starting, and I was really excited to be a part of something like that. And I guess the experience at first meeting everyone from Meow Wolf was really cool, because they're all people who have such a vast knowledge about different art, especially installation art. So like Sage was saying, when we started looking at different installations and just talking about the whole concept, it was really interesting, and we definitely clicked with the people from Meow Wolf. We had a lot of the same interests.
Nice. So what were some of those interests? Tell me.
Well, personally, I'm really interested in a sort of art that like combines natural elements with like sort of plastic, you know, already humanized elements of art. So the person I got paired with who's helping me from Meow Wolf is Benji, and when we worked on the project together, like, he gave me ideas that flowed so perfectly with my own ideas, so it's a really great collaboration. Mm-hmm. I was really excited about it.
Well, and that's what this project does, right, Vince? You can just nod, since I'm going to go to Liz in just a moment. But this project that you've set up pairs each high school student with a professional artist who can then help the students realize their vision and add their skills and abilities to the students. Because I know when my first art class, I mean, oh my goodness, I was in high school and I was trying to paint and I had all kinds of ideas in my head of what it was going to look like, but I had no skills to actually realize the images that I had in my head. And So I can imagine it must be really awesome to be paired with somebody who's like, here's how you do that. Liz, did you have that same experience getting paired up with your mentor partner?
Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of art experience in the past, but drawing and painting and never sculpture. And at the beginning of the program, I never thought it'd be like possible to make something that big of a scale. But it's been a really amazing experience getting there. And our mentor has been super helpful, giving us like ideas and like all of these materials that I never knew about before.
What are some of the materials you're talking about, for example?
There's a stuff called faux shape, which is a fabric that's woven out of like plastic. And when it's introduced to heat, it stiffens into a harder plastic.
Uh-huh.
So at first it's really malleable, and then it's...
So it's like fabric clay,
yeah,
kind of?
Pretty much. And then once it's hard, it's like it stays. And then there's...
So what do you do with that? Like, what's an example of a part of the installation that involved that medium?
Well, the GUI room has a lot of faux shape. And my room used faux shape on the walls, which is the nightmare room. If you guys go, it's like... You'll know which one the nightmare room is.
Well, Sage, explain the way that this installation is set up, that there are multiple rooms that you move through, and tell us a little bit of the story that is told for people who come to the exhibit.
Okay, well, we were all asked to come up with different ideas for an installation in the beginning, and everyone had so many different ideas that what we came up with really incorporates everyone's ideas perfectly and really lets each teenager have their own space to completely create. So when you walk in, there's four doorways, right? Four? Five. Okay. There's five doorways that all lead into a separate area, and you can go each way.
So you choose the doorway. You choose your first
doorway?
You can
choose your first doorway, and then you'll see all the other parts of the installation, but you start wherever you want to.
Got it. And so then, Sophia, what are the different rooms?
Well, the thing that links them all together is that they're a dreamscape. So we have one room that's actually the bedroom of the main character, Lance Flansburgh. He's an imaginary character. And we sort of built all the rooms from coming out of that being like what things he might dream of. And he has a really boring office life. And so his dreams are where he escapes and finds a lot of really different things. So like Sage was saying, the rooms you choose out of the five paths, so it's sort of interactive, and then they all end up linking back together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about you, Liz? Is there a favorite doorway?
A favorite doorway? That's really hard. You're going to get something really different no matter which door you go into.
Mm-hmm.
And
is that because of the order in which you see all the different aspects, or
yeah,
is that?
It's just the room changes really rapidly from one thing to another.
Okay.
The space does.
Mm-hmm.
So you could walk in one doorway and it'll be one thing, and then you continue on a little bit, go down like a small hall, and then it could be a completely separate thing. So depending on which doorway you choose, you could have a really good dream, a really weird dream, or a really bad dream.
Okay. We're talking with students who are participating in the Lead with the Arts program with the Albuquerque Museum in coordination with Meow Wolf, an arts organization from Santa Fe. Liz Boren goes to Sandia Prep. Sophia Resnick and Sage McKay attend Amy Beale High School. And we'd like to hear from you this morning. What arts programs have your kids participated in, and how did it affect them? What did they create? The number to call locally here in Albuquerque is 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can email callinshow@kunm.org. You can also post your comments online at kunm.org. I want to come back to you, Vince.
Sure.
And that's because I want you to talk a little bit about what kind of challenges there are working with students to try to create these artistic visions,
yeah,
that they bring.
We've been working with students of all ages, basically from kindergarten all the way up to high school age, actually some college age students as well. And there's a specific challenge with high school students, which is that they are pretty self-conscious, and they're, you know, they're totally in their own head. If we work with like a with third graders, we can like give them an idea and they will just go crazy with it, and they don't even like think twice about what's happening. It's just like it just goes. And so like the first big challenge of working with like high school students was like just getting them to like talk, you know, and even like care about being there or like or buy into like who we were as people. So like a lot of times, you know, it's just about like being like authentic. You have to be like, I don't know, I remember when I was a teenager, like you have a really high capacity to be able to sort of detect
fakeness
and authenticity. Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, so we just like try to come in and try to be like ourselves and relate on a personal level. And then when it comes to our like artistically, getting the students to think about art from a perspective that's like more than just painting, more than just drawing, like getting off of the page and looking at art as, I mean, the room that we sit in, the Alsips that you walk in, the Lauterburger that you go up to the window of, like this is all creation. And like that creative energy, like that's all creativity, that's all art, that's all some form of like man-made construction. And then thinking about space in that way and thinking about like the multiple mediums that are used throughout the day to be able to define our experiences and trying to manifest that. And so it, that took a little bit of time. Everyone's caught on really well, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elizabeth Becker from the Albuquerque Museum, talk about how does this approach that Meow Wolf brings to the Lead with the Arts program in this particular case, is that one of multiple types of things that Lead with the Arts does, or is it kind of like an example of exactly what you'd like to do?
It's certainly an example of where we'd like the program to be. I mean, the idea of having mentoring relationships with students and artists is really key. I think that, you know, one thing that we were thinking about is we didn't want this to be like school. We didn't want this to be a class where there were people standing there and telling students what they should be doing. This was really about high school students saying, what do I want to see? What do I want to do? What do I want to create? And I think that's what the Meow Wolf experience does. However, the program itself is really about mentoring relationships with each other, peer-to-peer mm-hmm. relationships, as well as with the museum staff as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Sage, when you think about your relationships with your student colleagues and also with the Meow Wolf artist colleagues, talk to me a little bit about how that was for you. How did your relationships grow and change as you worked on this project?
Well, I'm generally a shy person, and I don't really talk very much, but... And most of the other kids in the class are like that too, with the exception of maybe one or two. So no one would really talk to each other for a long time.
Well, and I remember being like that in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, I talked a lot, but only to a very specific group of people.
Yeah. and I think the people from Meow Wolf have really become mentors for everyone too. And since we're each paired with one person, we really get close to that person and we get comfortable with them.
Sophia, what do you think?
Well, like Sage was saying, I remember when we first came in, it was kind of like, we don't know if these people have the same art styles as us, as far as the peers.
And you feel that you have an idea about what your art style is?
Particularly, like, for this installation, mm-hmm. I have an idea, but, I mean, I'm so young that right now I just have so many ideas.
Yeah. Sage, did you feel like you had an idea what your art style was, or was that something that you were able to kind of develop through the project?
It's definitely something that I developed throughout the project.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Liz?
I don't know. I think that I had stuff that I prefer doing, and this really helped me expand a lot on, like, what I was able to do.
And, like, moving outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about one of those moments where you stepped outside your comfort zone.
Well, I guess just constructing with material that I'd never used, even just chicken wire for sculpture and then paper mache, on top of it and that kind of stuff, I never even thought of that.
Like, it's totally liberating. You're like, wait, yeah. I don't need a paintbrush. I don't need, you know, I don't have to know what my colors are doing. I don't.
Yeah, you can sculpt with more than just clay, and that's that's a big thing that I didn't really think about before.
Mm-hmm. Sophia, did you get pushed outside your comfort zone?
I think as far as doing a space that big, that was what pushed me outside of my comfort zone, because I've always done a lot of, like, individual projects at my house. I'm also really interested in design, so I go kind of in that direction. But I had never had that big of a space that I could fill with whatever I wanted to, and that really pushed me to be creative in a way I hadn't been before.
So how many students were there in your group of the Dreamscape, the project Dreamscape?
11.
11 students and 11 artists matched with, perhaps a few more?
Eight or nine
artists match with 11 students. So how much space did each of you have, like, your own space to do, or were you collaborating across spaces and kind of organizing what you were doing together?
Well, we've started out definitely having our own concept for our own spaces, but they all flow together, and they're not like we don't have the exact same amount of space for each person. It's just really all trying to build together into the whole installation. Mm-hmm. But we were really focusing on our own exhibit, but now that we're getting towards the end, everyone's just scrambling, helping each other with anything that needs to be done. So it's a very busy day today mm-hmm. and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So are you ready?
Not quite yet. It's going to be a little while.
Are you going to be up all night?
Well, we can't stay at the museum all night long, but we are definitely,
it's not a night at the Albuquerque Museum.
In our dreamscape, that would be pretty intense, too, if that all came alive.
We could have a sleepover.
Well, there's a bed we could sleep in.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're talking with students who are participating in the Project Dreamscape exhibition that will open at the Albuquerque Museum tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock in Old Town here in Albuquerque. The students are Liz Bourne from Sandia Prep, Sophia Resnick, and Sage McKay from Amy Beale High School. And we've also heard a little bit from Elizabeth Becker at the Albuquerque Museum and Vince Cadlubeck of Meow Wolf. We would like to hear from you this morning. When did you first get a chance to express yourself artistically? And what was that like for you? What changes did that experience make in your life? The number to call is 277-5866. You can also call 877-899-5866. That's the toll-free number. You can email callinshow@kunm.org. You can also post comments online at KUNM.org. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Helping physicians manage industry change so they can focus on patient care. More about cloud-based EHR and practice management services is at athenahealth.com. Athena Health is a proud supporter. Established in 1929, UNM Press is a well-known and respected publisher in the fields of anthropology, archaeology, indigenous studies, Latin American history, American studies, Chicana and Chicano studies, art and architecture, and the history, literature, ecology, and cultures of the American West. For more information, please visit unmpress.com. A message from the tax-exempt University of New Mexico Press.
See what more than 200 artists, businesses, and organizations have already donated to KUNM's auction. The auction opens for bidding Friday, May 17th, but you can start browsing, register as a bidder, and put your favorites in a watch list now. Great items and unique experiences are added daily, so keep checking back. For example, hanging out with Walter White's physician from Breaking Bad, or Project Runway's Patricia Michaels. Click through to the auction site from KUNM.org.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, and we've got a full house this morning of arts coordinators and student artists, a couple from high schools here in Albuquerque who are participating with the Project Dreamscape exhibition that opens tomorrow at the Albuquerque Museum. And I hear that you still have some work to do. So are you willing to give us some insider, like, so when we go to the exhibit, we can be like, I know they were doing that last night at midnight. Liz, what kinds of things are you wrapping up on your part of the exhibit today?
Mostly the floor, the path, hiding the lights. So if you go in there, don't, like, look for them because we're going to hide them really well. And attaching the legs on of the sculptures.
One of the sculptures. What about you, Sophia? What's your big task to complete?
We definitely have the floors in. We definitely have the floors in almost every part of the rooms, because that's kind of the last part. We don't want it to get dirty while we're working on it. So we have to paint the floors and let them dry before people come in there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I see exactly why that's wait till the last minute to do that. Like, that's the final finishing touches. What about you, Sage? What are you working on?
Well, I luckily finished really early because my idea is relatively basic to make. Mm-hmm. So I've been helping the other rooms a lot, like the GUI room or Sophia's room, mm-hmm. or things like that. Mm-hmm.
Which room is yours?
My room doesn't really have a name. It's a stage, though, so you'll know it.
Okay, it's a stage.
Yeah.
We call it Sage's Stage.
Sage's Stage. And Sophia, which room is yours?
Mine doesn't have a name. It's sort of like this cup hallway that's made to look sort of like a synthetic cave. And then you go to the end, and there's a diorama that's sort of magical looking.
Okay.
So you'll recognize it when you go.
And the GUI room is yours, Liz? Is that right?
I know. I'm in the nightmare room.
Oh, the nightmare room. That's right. You mentioned that earlier, that you will definitely know that it's the nightmare room.
I think you'll figure it out.
Great, great. Well, we have a call from Sarah in Albuquerque. Good morning, Sarah. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Thank you for this interesting show. And, you know, when I was going to school as a teenager, my dream has been, you know, to become like a fashion designer. And I used to kind of fantasize about that. And I just wish that we had more emphasis on sewing classes and fashion classes in our high schools and junior high, that it could be available for students. I finally learned how to, learning how to sew in the last 5 years, and I'm learning alterations and different things. But, you know, I just wish that we had more opportunities for, you know, boys and girls that want to get into the fashion field and express their creativity and art through clothes. You know, that's an important part of artistry, is through expression through fashion.
Absolutely. What we wear every day on our bodies, we become an art project, or we can become an everyday and ever-changing art project. Some are more casual, like me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then there's worldwide emphasis on fashion and the art through fashion. I mean, it's Milan, it's Paris, New York, and we have a fashion show on the TV for a while, the runway.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about where we had the New Mexican Patricia Michaels make it almost to the very, very end?
I don't know. I think that was some kind of a project runway.
Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for your call, Sarah. We truly appreciate it. Are there ways, you three students, that sewing or fashion played into any of your work on this particular project?
Well, actually,
Sophia,
I had my prom one of the weekends we were working on it.
Yeah.
And up until right before I left to get ready, you know, most of my friends were getting all day to get ready, but I was working on gluing these cups together, and we all joked that I was going to make an actual dress out of cups and wear it to my prom.
But you didn't.
No.
But it was a nice idea, though. Mm-hmm.
If I had time, I might have considered
it. Yeah. Anybody else have a fashion, a connection with fashion, with what you did on this project, or is it something that you're interested in pursuing in other projects? Not so much? Maybe.
No, not really with this project, but I definitely agree that it's a really good media to do.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if Meow Wolf did a fashion show of crazy Meow Wolf fashions.
Vince is eagerly nodding his head.
Wheels.
For you listeners, when did you first get a chance to express yourself artistically? I'm thinking it hasn't been the first time for you students in here. It sounds like you've been active artistically in your lives. It's an early segment of your life, though, on that level, right? So for listeners, what was it like for you when you first kind of had that moment of like, I can create something that is art in my mind? We'd like to hear from you. Share your story about what that did in your life, what that experience meant to you. The number to call locally is 277-5866. That's 277-5866. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. You can email callinshow@kunm.org. You can also post your comments online at kunm.org. I want to go to Vince and Elizabeth. Vince is with Meow Wolf and Elizabeth Becker is with the Albuquerque Museum. Vince, tell us about your first kind of like, oh, I can create art moment.
Yeah. Gosh, that takes me back. Let's see. What did I do? What would be one of the first things I've done?
Or one of the early ones that was really meaningful to you.
I had an English class. This is going to sound really silly, but I had an English class when I was in 11th grade, and I didn't like going to school ever. I disliked high school. I didn't go. I missed like 60% of my days. I just didn't show up, but I really wanted to graduate. So I luckily had teachers that were like recognized that I could do, I don't know, they could give me space to do stuff even though I didn't like show up to class. So I had an English teacher who let me read the Scarlet Letter, and then I told her I would create like this like crazy box set, like multi book poetry journal from each of the characters' perspectives, and also like make a contemporary mix CD as if it was like the soundtrack for the Scarlet Letter. And I just like basically took on that book, which is like such a boring book. I don't know why I was so into it, but that was like a first moment where I like started to see like, I don't know, some dynamic. I didn't really like art growing up is a funny thing. Like I'm not very good with my fingers, and like crafting ability is really bad. I even tell the students, you know, whenever I'm working on stuff, like I'm not an artist, like I can't do stuff. Everything I do like looks really messy. But I don't know, I'm a facilitator of people, you know, and I learned that at a very, very, very young age.
Well, who says messy is not art?
Yeah,
I'm pretty messy myself. So.
Yeah.
What about you, Elizabeth? Early experiences for you, early meaningful experiences, is when you recognized the power of creation.
Well, you know, it's so funny hearing Vince talk about his experiences because, you know, I also, you know, I had a Catholic school upbringing where there really was no art. I mean, art even up into...
Except for in church, right?
Yeah. Art even up into middle school was cutting and pasting. And so I really didn't have those experiences young in life, though I was somebody who wrote stories a lot mm-hmm. as a young child. So even, you know, being 8 and 9 years old, writing stories all the time. And then actually as an adult, I came to those experiences. I'm in no ways an artist, but I started playing around with a little bit of paint and also sculpting, you know, and I enjoyed it. I haven't continued it. Like Vince, I feel like my role is really in being a facilitator and really encouraging those experiences. Yeah. I think that's a creative process, is getting people together.
Well, and that we all experience creative moments in our lives, even if producing art doesn't become our kind of either main hobby or main profession. That most people in my life have some way that they have found to kind of express themselves creatively, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. So that's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. We do have a few calls. Let's go to Sarah in Santa Fe. Good morning, Sarah. You're on the air.
Good morning. Hi. This is a great show. Thanks so much for having it. I coordinate a recycled art show in Santa Fe, and I'm a big fan of Meow Wolf. They've worked with some of the students in Santa Fe to create puppets in a similar collaboration type project, but younger students. And I just wanted to mention that there is a trash fashion show that's part of that. And there's also a trash fashion show at Albuquerque Academy. And so I really, maybe you can speak to this, but I really appreciate how a lot of this type of art uses non-conventional materials, uses stuff that would have been discarded or thrown away if the artists hadn't turned it into art, hadn't incorporated it into their project, their trash fashion outfit, or whatever that may be.
Do you have information that you can share with us about that particular...
Yeah, the Recycle Santa Fe Art Festival, it's going to celebrate its 15th year here in Santa Fe, and it's always in November, and it's going to be November 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Santa Fe Convention Center.
Okay, great.
And the fashion show always kicks off the weekend, and that's where I'm always so impressed with, I mean, participants from ages 5 to 95 that people wear outfits that they made for their prom. There was one of your artists that talked about, you know, joking of wearing a cup outfit to prom, mm-hmm. but one girl made a her prom dress out of her dad's old regatta sail that she'd sewn into this beautiful gown.
And nice.
Yeah, it's really, really fun to see all the creative fashion that gets created with trash.
Very cool. And does this project do things with groups of students in schools?
Well, we did when Meow Wolf had the Chimera grant. They worked with students directly in some of the local schools here in Santa Fe. And then we also work with teachers to do recycled art curriculum, that a recycling curriculum that kind of culminates in a recycled art project. So if they're studying bugs, then they might be able to make a caterpillar out of old, you know, egg cartons or something like that. So we do reach out to all the schools in Santa Fe. And then each student that participates, there's a youth contest, too, where kids make recycled art that's part of the festival as well.
Great. Thanks so much for your call, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's go to Ken in Albuquerque. Good morning, Ken. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to make a comment about encouraging young people to learn the basics. I started out with photography, fine art photography, and I studied photography in California at a fine arts school, and I learned the basics. I had a great professor who taught us the rules to understand how light works and design and composition, and then he encouraged us to break the rules. So once we learn the rules, we can then break the rules, and then we can then express ourselves at a higher level of artistic degree. And so to me, it was wonderful to be able to express myself through photography.
Mm-hmm. The perfect example of rules are made to be broken.
Exactly. Yeah.
In photography and art, especially. Thanks so much for your call, Ken. I appreciate it. We've got another call from Barbara. Good morning, Barbara. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I wanted to say that I wanted to give some kudos to a La Cueva photography teacher, Mr. Andrick. My son is just finishing his first year at Rochester Institute of Technology in upstate New York in a photography program. And he was very well prepared to compete with the other students, has learned so much. But Mr. Andrick really gave him his start. He had lots of enthusiasm. La Cueva was just a great school. And even the administrators there had supported my son in helping to get advanced photography courses in high school when they conflicted with other courses he was taking. Amy Eveleth is one of those people. And I just wanted to say thanks.
Great. Thanks for your call, Barbara.
Uh-huh.
An email question this morning from Miriam in Hemis Springs. She says that the Meow Wolf project sounds like a great project, and she asks, did any public school students participate?
Yes.
Elizabeth.
Yes, we do have students from Del Norte and Sandia High as well.
Got it. So we just had the private school representatives in the studio right now, but it was a mixed group.
Yes. Lead with the Arts is actually open to any high school students. So it's open to anybody.
And it's free of charge, right? There's no charge to be part of the program. It's totally offered entirely free to the students. So.
Yes. Got it. And Amy Beale's a public school. It's a charter school,
public,
right?
Charter school, yeah.
Got it. We had another email also from Craig in Santa Fe, and he's writing to give kudos also. He says, the artists and creative individuals comprising Meow Wolf transformed the Munoz Waxman Gallery at the CCA with their installation, The Dew Return. That's the one with the boat that you were describing, right, Vince?
Yeah.
He says, the mysterious presence of that ship pervaded Santa Fe for months, and demonstrated what can happen when visionary minds have an opportunity to present mature ideas in a supportive environment. Kudos and best to all those at Meow Wolf and to the many people and funders who supported the exhibition. That was from Craig in Santa Fe.
That's awesome. I wonder if that was Craig Anderson, the curator at the time.
Maybe. Thanks,
yeah,
Craig.
Throwing out a shout out.
So let's keep going. I want to talk to you students about what you see for yourselves next. What do you see for yourself next, Liz, when you think of the next project that you want to work on, and how has it been influenced by working on Project Dreamscape?
Well, I think the next step for me is going to college, and I'm going to art school in Baltimore called MICA, Maryland Institute College of Arts, and this has definitely opened new paths for things that I can do there.
Do you think your involvement with these kinds of projects made your application better?
Oh, I definitely think so. Uh-huh. It's very good for applications.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so tell me, as you look forward to, are you graduating this year?
Mm-hmm.
So you're graduating, you're going away to school in the fall. Do you have projects in mind that you want to do, or are you kind of a blank slate waiting to be inspired once you get there?
Yeah, I think it'll depend on what the assignments are and stuff when I get there, but I think I'll definitely have a lot better ideas mm-hmm. than before.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say to students who maybe haven't had as much art exposure as you have, you know, having ideas about what your vision was before you even started participating in the program? What would you say to students who are like, I don't have a vision, I don't have an artistic vision, I just know I want to make stuff, maybe this program isn't for me?
Well, I would suggest looking on the internet on other, just for art and what kind of art you like. And if you like installation, look at a lot of installation and get a sketchbook and just draw and draw until something really just, you have to make it.
Mm-hmm. Draw until you have to make it.
Yeah.
What about you, Sophia? What do you what are you looking forward to?
Well, I think it's going to be pretty hard to top having a show at the Albuquerque Museum. But I definitely want to continue making things, and this has really opened my eyes to the fact that I really like installation art. Hmm. And installation art actually kind of combines even more with my interest for design, so mm-hmm. I'm going to do a lot of projects in the future that combine those two.
Do you have any images in your mind now? Are they still kind of forming?
They're forming uh-huh. still. I feel like I can't focus on something until I get this one done, and then new ideas always come up. So
yeah, I understand that.
Excited.
Are you graduating this year, or do you have some
I'm
more time?
I'm a junior.
So you have one more year.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have arts plans for next year?
You know, not so far.
Mm-hmm.
I think after this, I'll start to see what opportunities come up.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sage? What year are you?
I'm a sophomore.
Oh, so you got two more years.
Yeah.
Got it. So what are you thinking for your 2 years?
Well, I really love music and performing and singing and playing the piano. So I really just hope to perform a lot more and gain more experience in the next 2 years. And I'm going to perform at the opening tomorrow. So that's exciting.
How does working on installation art affect your views of performance?
Well, it's really just another kind of performance, because early on we were talking about having actual, I don't think this is actually going to happen, but having people walk through the exhibit, maybe in character and costume or in something. I don't think that's actually going to happen, but that would be an aspect of performing.
Liz, was that something you were involved in?
All of the Nightmare Crew are going to be wearing spooky masks.
Spooky masks.
Spooky masks. that's kind of in costume, I suppose.
Okay. So bringing in the actual artists as performers in the space, in the installative space, is that the right word? The installation, sounds like a great way to incorporate your existence, your person, your corpus into that space also, right? And then, singing music. I was going to wrap up my thought with Sage, but I lost it. Vince, can you talk about what's next for Meow Wolf after this Project Dreamscape is realized?
Yeah, after Project Dreamscape, we start to work on something in Chicago, actually. We'll be working on a project at the Thomas Robertello Gallery. Thomas Robertello is a gallery owner who came down to Santa Fe and saw our boat and saw a couple projects of ours, and he invited us to do a show. It'll open September 6th in his gallery, so we'll be there from August until September and just building stuff up until that. We have some smaller projects, like the skate park in Santa Fe is going to be opening on June 15th, and we're really psyched about being part of that, and Santa Fe just getting behind like youth culture, not hiding from it and really supporting it, and you know, putting a lot of money into this skate park, and some other like small things. But with regards to working with students, we're at the point now where we want to be able to take these like sort of project by project rather than creating like an entire program like we did with Chimera, and instead like look at project by project and see what projects really fit in with with students, you know, and not forcing it. And this is a good example of that. Like, this feels like a true collaboration between me, Al Wolf, and high school students. It feels like we're all one big collective working in there. It's really awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Well, so for those of you listening this morning, are there student arts programs in your community that are doing similar things as Project Dreamscape with Meow Wolf and the Albuquerque Museum? You can email us your contact information, callinshow@kunm.org, and we'd be happy to post those links online at kunm.org. You can also call in live right now to share information about the programs in your communities. 277-5866 is the local number to call here in Albuquerque. You can also call toll-free 877-899-5866. And again, the email address, callinshow@kunm.org. Elizabeth Becker with the Albuquerque Museum, talk to me about what's next after. I mean, I know I'm moving forward, whereas you all think are like, we're not done yet. This is what's going on. But what's next for the Lead with the Arts program?
Right. So right now we're really trying to seek funding for supporting another year. So we are looking to continue, of course, to have this program in future years. We love the model that developed here with Meow Wolf, the idea of really very collaborative work. As Vince said, this is not student-teacher. This is mentoring mm-hmm. relationships. So we look to continue that model with artists in the future, that this is really a collaborative experience.
It's a great model, like doing this one-to-one or almost one-to-one thing. Like, it'd be great if that could happen. It's a really expensive model that costs a lot of money. I mean, we're working at, you know, pennies to the dollar here, and happy to do it. But we've had some really amazing support this year, some amazing sponsors. The Shaken Not Stirred fundraiser that the museum does helps out with that. PNM helps. UNM Health and Science Department came through with like a really great donation that made it possible for the Meow Wolf mentors to be down there. So and then Albuquerque Asphalt, a local asphalt company here in town, also helped. So there's been like really great support to even get this version of it off the ground. But I mean, even at that, like a program of this magnitude with this much like depth, one to one working, like it does. It's an expensive model.
Yeah, it's expensive. It's time consuming. But I even see the value if it isn't one artist per student, that it's maybe peer to peer. It's students working together collaboratively to come up with the program and work together. So I think there's different ways to use this model. But yeah, I mean, we were very lucky to have had Meow Wolf having such a large group of artists that they could pull on. And that was something that really changed during the process. I mean, we didn't expect that to happen. We really expected we'd be working with two artists.
Oh, wow, instead of eight or nine, right?
And it, mm-hmm. you know, and it evolved, and that was great because it really, I think it really changed the focus of the program.
Vince.
Yes.
Favorite moment from Project Dreamscape?
Oh, gosh.
Favorite moment, just best moment. We're going to do a best moment, okay, so well, everybody think your best moment.
One of my favorite moments from early on was when we were talking sort of conceptually about installation art, we were talking about their group show. And we had gone through like, okay, you know, brainstorm what you guys might want to create. And we were going through a bunch of different options of like what could be created. And one of the students, I think her name is Erica, she like stopped and she said, wait, so can we think of anything? And I was like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, think of anything. But just that like moment of like,
no
wait,
limits.
Wait, this isn't school, or like, wait, can we? Yeah, exactly. No limits. Like, and that's the basis we started from was think of anything, and then we'll try to make that happen. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. So that was.
What about you, Elizabeth? Best moment?
I think it was yesterday. Later on in the evening, I walked into the space. I started taking pictures, and I said, "Wow, these spaces finally have personality." They have vision. I see where it's all coming together. I see their personalities. I see what they were going to do. It's all coming together.
Nice. So, yeah. Nice. Liz Boren, what was favorite moment? Project Dreamscape.
Oh, that's a hard one. There's been a lot of really great things that have happened. I think one of them was probably when we got to go into the space the first time and just
preparing. Is this before you had installed or after?
Before.
Before.
The museum was kind enough to put up walls for the space.
Mm-hmm.
And
so kind of raw. It was the raw space.
Yeah. Nothing in it, just the walls. And, you know, there was a lot of back and forth between, like, this is going to be a lot of space, and, like, this is tiny, and then this is, like, oh, this is bigger than I thought it was going to be. And, like, the first time we went in there, I did think the space was kind of small, but after really shaping it, I'm glad it's not bigger.
Good to know. What about you, Sophia? What was a favorite moment on your part during the creation of this exhibit?
Well, I think there's a lot of favorite moments, but the most recent one yesterday was we got, like, a shipment of these Rainbow Symphony glasses. They sort of, like, allow you to see in 3D, but, like, even stronger than 3D glasses.
Okay.
And a couple of the students, we put them on and walked throughout our whole space, and we've been seeing it for days, you know, seeing it shape up and form in different ways, but it, like, totally alters your perception of it, and so I think it's going to be really exciting for people to be able to see it like that.
Nice. Is that part of the exhibit, that you wear those glasses, or is that kind of an optional?
Yeah, it's optional, but just for anyone who's coming, I recommend at least trying them.
At least trying them once.
Yeah, it was kind of like being able to see everything we worked on and then see it, like, take a whole new dimension.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Sage? Favorite moment?
Well, really, everything has been really great, but one thing that's always been exciting for me, like, every day working on the project, is to come in and see all the new things that people have done since I haven't been there, and just walking around. But I have to agree with Liz that my favorite moment was walking through the exhibit right when the first walls were put up and just seeing everything, like, with a clean slate.
What were you thinking at that moment?
Wow.
Like, this, we have to fill this space. This is what we've got to work with. Uh-huh. I would imagine that would be a little intimidating.
Yeah.
Did you, like, Liz, did you feel at the end, like, okay, yeah, that space was right, I'm glad it wasn't bigger?
Well, my area got expanded, so that was really cool for me, just to see it even bigger than what I had thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's take a call from Monica in Albuquerque. Good morning, Monica. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My name is Monica Sanchez. I'm the artistic director at Working Classroom, and we are an arts conservatory down in the neighborhood of Barelas. And I would just love to share that we have our summer conservatory we're taking applications for, and we have entry-level classes in theater and art for ages 11 and up and up. And once the students go through the introductory classes, we have a variety of wonderful guest artists coming in to do workshops in... We have a guest artist from Florida, from Miami, from Haiti, to do workshops in resin and 3D work. Another woman from the Bronx. We have a woman coming from Yale to do a voice workshop. A guy from LA to do stage combat.
That sounds awesome, Monica. I'm going to pause you for a second. Stay on the line
sure.
So I can have my call screener pick you back up and get your contact information, and then we can post some of that information on our website. Okay, hang on the line. Thanks, Monica. Thanks to all of you in the studio this morning for joining us. Vince Kadlubeck is with Meow Wolf. We had Liz Boren, a Sandia Prep student. She's graduating this year and going away to college, which is awesome. Congratulations. Elizabeth Becker is with the Albuquerque Museum. Then we had Sophia Resnick. She's got one more year of school, one more year to make awesome art before you head out into the college world. And two more years for Sage McKay. Thanks so much to you all for joining us this morning. We will post audio from the show online at KUNM.org in just a few minutes. You can email callinshow@KUNM.org with comments, questions, and or topics for future shows. Again, callinshow@KUNM.org. Marshall Broyles engineered this morning. We had Andy Lyman as assistant producer, and Michael Hess screened your calls. Thanks so much for your participation, and we'll be back next week. This is the KUNM Call-In Show.